Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Boom! Power twins unite. Form of audio waves. Shape of microphone.
That sounds like the Mighty Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
No, Justice League.
Well, it's really the Justice League too.
The Super anyway. Power Twins.
No, you're right. You're right. Okay. I'm wrong. You're right, Scott. No. Welcome back to Oklahoma Said.
And I got all that on video. So.
We are the official Oklahoma Ed podcast, and we're so happy you're joining us again. This was a great chat, and before we dive in, you need to stop what you're doing. Rate us on the listening app that you are using currently. And then before you start the button again, go to the Twitters and follow at TeachFromHere, at eBarn73, and or at Okla Said.
Bravo. Bravo. That was a really good little thing. And then also, in whatever podcast library that you're listening to or podcast platform, just hit the little share-o button down there on the bottom and and share on Facebook and Twitter.
Good idea.
Yeah, there you go. So, Cass Nelson hosted our chat, everybody's favorite rural small town principal.
Oh my word, like I love her. She has inspired me. Did you know that?
No, what has she inspired you to do? Run? Because she's run like something like almost 900 days in a row. At least a mile or 2 miles.
It's totally in the thousands now. Anyway, that is good, but I've given up on running. Okay. her bedtime stories. Like, it was such an amazing idea. I, too, am reading bedtime stories to our students, or I guess anybody that wants to join in. Maybe I should have just sent my students to hers. But I'm reading bedtime stories as well, and so far the response has been awesome.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
It is a brilliant idea, and it's all Kaz's, and thank you, Ms. Nelson. That's and right. And then she's dropping more literacy bombs on us with this chat.
Yeah, it was a really good chat, and in case you want to find her, she is at Cass Nelson on the Twitters, K-A-S. She's the pre-K through 6th grade principal in Visalia, but since she's in such a small community, and I was talking with her one day about this, I mean, her title technically says pre-K to 6, but sometimes there's overlap between her and the secondary principal.
Just, I could imagine.
You know, it's a small community. And she's in Little Visalia, Oklahoma, which is, don't blink or you'll miss it. But she also blogs at aprinciplespace.wordpress.com. And she doesn't blog very often, but when she does, it's very good.
Yes. Well, her chat topic this week was Lead with Literacy. And you said by Mandy Ellis, who is with the hashtag LeadLit. She's an author, and I think that this chat was based around that.
Based around her book, and the book has been published through the Dave Burgess Consulting Company, which is the Lead Like a Pirate.
Of course guy. It has. Of course so. It has. So it must be brilliant. I need to buy it, is what you're saying.
add that to your list. So all of you buy now Amazon clickers, dig in, as it were.
Okay, Amazon added the one click like last year or something. One click is a bad thing. Travis likes to fill our shopping cart and then rely on me one clicking my one purchase and like
getting it all.
Yeah, a host of things come. Anyway,
why is the credit card bill $3,000?
What on earth?
All I did was buy one $15 book. What happened?
Well, question one, what type of reader were you? Give a shout out to a former teacher that shared the power of reading. Man, I don't remember loving reading. I do remember one summer I tried to do a reading challenge and did get like 3 books in, maybe like 4th grade level. So that would have been Miss Wolgamuth, who was in Bartlesville, and she's probably dead now. Because, I mean, I'm a million years old, and she was a million years old at the time. So, okay. But shout out to anybody in the Wohlgemuth family who's, you know, around and listening. She was pretty good, and I did like reading that one year, so.
I don't remember that a single teacher that encouraged me to read, but I remember in high school I always had a book in my hand, and I read a lot of Stephen King, a lot of Tom Clancy, and a lot of Robert Jordan, so I had sort of a wide variety of reading that I just read all the time.
All right. I do remember reading It in
so
high
good.
School. Oh my gosh. Like, it freaked me out.
And The Stand is amazing.
Well, I haven't read that one. So my adulthood, Stephen King, we did the 11-23-65.
Right.
The JFK time travel one.
Right.
Anyway.
Was it good? I haven't read that one.
Travis read it in full. I gleaned from the miniseries, but Travis is like, you need to read it because the miniseries was all right, but the book. So I got the book. Yep. Anyway, but Stephanie Peppers, who is at Nerdy First, she said, I read everything when I was a kid. I'm pretty sure every teacher I had since pre-K gave me more books to read or let me read since I was so voracious. But credit for that has to go to my parents, who read to me so many books ever since I was a little baby. That's awesome. We are trying to do that with our own kids. They have not decided to carry a book with them everywhere they go.
Maybe they'll learn.
Maybe.
I went with Dr. Teresa Colon here. She's at Dr. Terry C. She is also a blogger or article publisher, or I'm not sure the official title, on Edutopia. So, yeah, congrats to her. She said, I read any books I was told that I could not. I am surprised that she would say that. Not really.
I am not.
Stephen King, Go Ask Alice, Diary of Anne Frank, Huck Finn, Bannett, and it was in my backpack.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
Wicked awesome.
So question two, why should reading and literacy be emphasized across all content areas?
Because we read in one of the content areas, right? Social studies, you got to read. Science, you got to read. Personal finance, you got to read. Math, you got to read. Everything has reading. Driving needs reading. Everything has reading a part of it.
You could probably make a case that there's some digital arty things that you don't necessarily need to read on.
That you just learn by failing and forward?
Yeah, you learn by clicking through the program, or you learn by taking your paint and applying it to the canvas.
All right.
I'm not saying...
Maybe so.
I'm not saying you couldn't get better from reading. I'm just saying that maybe some of those things... But I'm not trying to take away from reading. Reading is very critical. I mean,
what, you have a problem with reading?
Yeah, I got a problem with reading. Reading's dumb.
It's dumb.
It opens up whole new worlds. No, in it, I do have I guess the math part of me does have a problem when you give me all this, the reading strategies all the time at the expense of me being able to develop my math teaching strategies. Now,
right.
I have a problem with that, but I certainly don't have a problem with, here's how you can use some reading strategies to benefit your math class. Do you see what I'm saying there? So there's that subtle difference.
Right.
So who did you go for?
I went with Sherry Gately on this one. I should have read her first and then reiterated what she said, because she just does it more brilliantly than I. But she
That's
said,
why she's a teacher of the year. Candidate. Yeah.
Right. She says, literacy is the most essential foundation for everything a person needs to get ahead in life. We should be reading in every classroom, regardless of content area or grade level. So don't get on to her. She's kind of right.
And I went with Jay Anderson, and he is at Dr. J_Anderson. Okay. For those of you younger than Aaron and I, Dr. J was the most amazing NBA basketball player. I loved watching Dr. J play some hoops.
Yes.
Did Dr. J, Aaron?
Probably.
Sports ball?
You're so much older than I am, so yes. I have no clue who you're talking about.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
I will scold you later off air. But Dr. J underscore Anderson, he said reading is a great connection between school and life. It will help fill the gap when a teacher or parent isn't there.
Yes. No, I totally agree. Well, question three, how do you model the importance of reading to your students?
Oh, can I share?
Please.
Here's what Edmund Memorial did, and this was great. The library ladies, the media center ladies, would send out, and I don't remember how it got started, but they sent us a, what I'm currently reading, what I just completed reading, laminated cardstock things.
Yeah.
And they sent one to every single teacher in the building. And the principal said, post these in your classroom.
I like that.
So we did. And then the library lady said, you just email us the book title and author. We will print the book cover in color. And, you know, that's a big deal. We'll print it in color. We'll laminate it for you. We'll put it in your mailbox. And you just tape it on these, what I finished, what I'm reading posters. And so the faculty just soaked that up. So the students could see what the teachers were currently reading. And some teachers, you know, would move it to, when they finished that, they would move it to just finished, and then they would move it to the trash. And some teachers would move it from currently reading to just finished and then just add it. So it became this kind of growing list of books that they read.
I like that.
And then at the end of the year, they gave awards for the person that read the most pages, and they gave an award for the person that read the most books.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was really great.
That's kind of in my adult world where Goodreads is. I mean, you've got a what I've read library, currently reading, and what I want to read wish list. And so it's really fun, but it's not on display for everyone. It's on display for who I'm friends with in that social media platform. So, right. But I like the idea of it. So I went with Jay Anderson on this one too. He said, walk around with a book in your hand, whether in the classroom, hallway, cafegymatorium. I got that one. Sheesh, I can read. Make it a priority to bless a book. The students will want that book. And I really like that idea. And I am going to try to adopt that. I'm going to try to walk around with the book I'm currently reading at all times.
And I can't remember if we talk about this later, but Kaz used to just take a selfie with a student on a birthday day, and now she not only takes a selfie, but she gifts them a book.
That's really cool.
So I can't remember if we mentioned that later, but I want to mention it now. And if it gets mentioned twice, then super great. I went with Jessica Cabin here. She's at Jessica Cabin. And Jessica said, at the middle school, trying something different this week. Now, that was the tweet. So,
oh, yeah.
There was an image with this, and it was an image of a blank piece of like butcher block paper with the Snapchat logo on it, and it said, the book snaps poster is ready to be filled in.
Yay!
So for those of you that don't know what book snaps is, that's when you take a picture of a book or some writing in a book or an image of the book, or, you know, something related to whatever it is that you're reading, and you take a picture in Snapchat and use the different filters and you pull in your Bitmojis and you highlight and you do the different things that help to show why that particular part of the book spoke to you. And it's really, really a cool thing. And if you just hashtag book snaps, you'll see some great, great stuff.
That's really cool.
Did you just take a picture of me? You were smiling.
Yes.
Dang it. Did my mouth at least look okay, or was it like wide open weird?
Wide open weird, totally.
Dang, you always do that. Question four, how often do you read aloud to your students, and what hinders you from doing this more?
So a couple of years ago, I read out loud every day as we came in from recess. And then I don't know why I dropped it, but it's totally coming back this year. Like coming in, let's take a few minutes, read a chapter aloud, and calm ourselves back down. Recess, coming in from recess, it seems like it takes a while for the kids to refocus. And so I thought I would incorporate that read aloud time again during this time.
That's awesome. You know, my 11-year-old still wants me to read with her.
Yeah.
It's a little more difficult now because the book's like, you know, 300 or 400 pages long, and she's reading this really good one. But she like asked me to start reading with her the other night, like right before bedtime. I go, we need more time than this. And then she was angry, and I got like the, you can kiss my cheek going to bed. Like, I'm not looking at you, but you can come here, you know.
But that's something Travis did all last year was read to them every night. And I mean, he would take, like, my daughters are 8 and 11. And so last year they were 10 and 7. Anyway, he has read to them all of the Narnia books, The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, you know, and so he's taking books that they obviously wouldn't be able to do on their own. And every night reads to them until Jolene falls asleep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I went with Wes Fryer here. I chose his tweet because he sort of speaks my language on this one, and he is at W. Fryer. He said, as a technology director, I definitely don't get to do this very often, but maybe offering myself up to our elementary teachers as a guest reader would be doable. It's certainly something I love doing.
You know, and Wes is one of those techie guys. He could totally record a podcast of him reading, and we had talked about this before, too. You know, I wanted to do it last year, and I never actually got it going, but recording a podcast of yourself reading a book. Gosh, what's his name? Gordy, Reading Rainbow. Come on, man. Help me out.
I don't know. I like,
oh my gosh,
I like to read.
Vanessa Perez is going to kill me. The guy from Reading Rainbow.
I don't remember.
LeVar Burton.
Oh, yeah, LeVar Burton. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, LeVar Burton has LeVar Burton Reads.
The podcast.
And it was, I mean, and it's a podcast for all those people who loved being read to stories by him when they were young. And now he reads these adult sci-fi stories, short stories, and they're awesome. And so, Wes, you could totally do that and push that out if you wanted to. Just saying.
He probably could because he's a pretty techie guy like that. Who'd you go for?
I went with Gracie Branch on this one. She says, just the busy pace of school typically interferes, but so worth it when you can make the time to get there. Sometimes I would read in the media center or just go into classrooms so they would see me reading. And I love that, but she is so right. The busy pace of school and everything else that is piled on us. And so I was like, yes, I can totally relate to that because that's why it fell apart over the last couple of years. But I want to get back into it. But the busy pace of school interferes.
You know, sometimes when school starts, you get on the rocket and you don't get off until May ends. It's like,
yeah. And then you're like, I didn't do half of the things I pinned on Pinterest.
Yeah. And if you step off the rocket, it becomes a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, question 5, when a student or parent comes to your classroom or school, what will they see that promotes reading? And I really liked this because if your school has a visual presence of literacy, it's going to go a lot further than just a teacher saying, now read when you get home.
Right.
You know, anyway.
Read and record it because your kid's going to take a test on it. Read, read, read. Fill out the log.
Please. Anyway, and Jay Anderson, do we know where this person's from? I've never seen this person before.
Something tells me with the things that he was saying that reading is very important to him.
Yeah. Official SPS. Executive Director of Elementary Learning with Official SPS.
There you go.
Anyway, just very great things. But he said, parents seeing it in schools is important, but it takes literacy and invitation push home. It's essential. Partners with home for reading success or partner with home for reading success. And I totally agree with that. It is really, really difficult, though, for some families, some students. And so I think we have to find a way to do it more. But then I don't know how much we interfere with home life because it's home life. But literacy is important. It really is.
It is important. And how do you draw that line? Scott.
I know.
And you got to draw that line sometimes, too, between I'm forcing you to read because this is homework and I want you to read because it's enjoyable.
Right.
That can be tricky. Right. Allison Trimble, and she is at Ms. Trimble Vice.
Yeah.
She said, in my classroom, there is a fairly large library with books sorted by subject and several comfy spots that are perfect for curling up with a good book. And she took a picture of her classroom, and I wanted to go read there.
That would have been a really fun place to do some reading.
For shizzle. Question 6, how much time do you devote to independent reading in your class? school leaders, do you schedule any school-wide independent reading events?
So I really liked what Amanda James had to say here, and she is, where is she at? Remind me where she's at.
She is at West something Elementary. I can't remember what it is.
You had it a couple podcasts ago, so I just assumed you knew it. But she is amazing, and she says OklaWe, which is their hashtag for their school, is hosting an outdoor movie night with parents and community to connect novels that they read in the classroom. And I love that. I think that that's a great idea. I mean, what a fun way to bring reading full circle.
I want to go.
Amanda, let us know when that is. We'll show it.
It's not very close to me. So I don't know if it's not close. And it's even further for you. So I chose Mandy Ellis, and she is at Mandy Ellis, and she said, "We are, for the first time, doing a One School, One Book event with the help of @ReadToThem. All students and staff will get a copy of Lemonade Wars and do a read aloud and be encouraged to read it at home as well. Can't wait. Hashtag OklaEd, hashtag LeadLap. Hashtag lead lit idea from @MrWazak. And Mandy is the author of Lead with Literacy. So not only does she write the book, but she participated in our chat, which is pretty stinking cool.
That is really stinking cool. All right, question 7. Is there a celebration in your classroom or school that could add an event or an element of literacy to it? So add an element of literacy to it.
Can I go?
Yeah.
I still remember this from when I was little.
Yeah.
When I was in elementary school, so I went to school in Guthrie, Oklahoma, and I can't remember if it was 5th or 6th grade, but the football team would come read to us, and they would wear their football jerseys. And I remember thinking, whoa. That's what I thought. That's it. That's all I thought.
Okay, well, so I chose Kaz Nelson, who says, "Our high reads to elementary on some Fridays in their uniforms."
Yes! Yes, the baseball team reading. Amazing.
Yes.
I mean, there's just something about when you're a younger kid, a younger student, and you see that high school athlete walk in with his uniform on. I mean, it's just a whole different deal.
Yeah.
I went with Lauren Pena here, and she's at Lauren_Pena16. She said, "I give students a quote-unquote work day in class every other week to read, workshop writing, or work on homework."
I like it.
So, yeah. So, like a not necessarily a free day, but a free improve your literacy day.
That's excellent.
Yeah. What are some ways to utilize social media to promote reading with your students or school? Now, this is where book snaps can come into play. And you don't necessarily need a Snapchat account, but it's very well suited for that.
Okay.
But that would be my big thing on this one. Booksnaps are a great way to incorporate technology.
Well, I'm going to, just Laura Pena. Lauren Pena, she has something to say against it.
Laura.
She said, "I found that nothing kills a social media platform faster than adults trying to be hip with it. However, I have had kids talk through how characters would present themselves on social media to make them more relatable." Yes. And I've done a book character social media page where they would do Facebook posts as the character.
Right.
But I think she's a little right. I don't want to make my students be friends with me on social media, and I don't want them having to do school things with their social media platform. I don't want to change who they are in their social media world.
Right. It's hard. And I've had that argument with students too. In fact, I had students one time go through school and they had to share on social media different things related to school that was that could be viewed as successes for our school. Like, this is why we're proud to be Edmund right. Memorial Bulldogs. And one of the students is like, "But I don't want to share that on social media." And I go, "It's how you're getting your grade today." So we sort of had this tug back and forth. So basically what she did was she participated because I asked her to. And She tweeted the selfies and the things because I asked her to. And then she sent a tweet that apologized to all her future sorority sisters and said that her teacher made her do it.
That's hilarious.
But I was trying to get her to grow out of that and look at, you know, there are other things that social media can do that can compliment you. And but yeah, I got pushback on looking nerdy. However, most schools do have a learning management system, whether it's Google Classroom or Canvas or Edmodo or something along those lines. So you can capture the essence of the social media and post that into that safe space.
Without them having to look a certain way to their peers.
Right, because now they're looking inside the class. You don't have to follow them back and be amazed at what they do or don't do and all that kind of stuff. But I love what John Bennett had to say here. Our good friend from Virginia, he's always considering... And he is at JCBJR. And he said, with the likely, quote unquote, truth stretching on social media, especially, choose a topic, find significant posts, read and test for fake news by seeking corroboration. And especially for your middle school, high school kids, that's an excellent way to do it. Because sometimes, even you and I fall victim to, oh my gosh, it's on the internet, it's true. And this is a good way to use social media to debunk some of those things or to seek further clarification of the headline that is misrepresentative of the story.
Right. Well, what ways can you showcase books you're reading with students, parents, and staff? And I picked Stephanie Heim tweet here, and we kind of talked about it earlier. She said, post a currently reading outside of your door. Tweet it if you have a section in your newsletter. Devote it. What are you reading? And I like that. You're just basically saying, hey, look, I'm reading books too. You're not. I'm assigning this. Yes, but it's
but
not
I'm doing it
as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I went with Twyla Hester, and she's at Twyla Hester, and she said almost the exact same thing. She said, at my last school, our librarian at PC West Library created laminated signs so teachers and administrators could post what we were reading outside our doors. Plan to steal this and use it at my new school.
Interesting. We've talked about it before. Both of our tweets said it. You had somebody doing it. It sounds like it might be a good idea.
I mean, it's possible.
Well, what was the bonus question? Instead of a question 10, we did a bonus question. It's harder to search.
So the bonus question said, let's take lit to a whole other level. Share three favorite books.
There were so many books to choose from. Like, so many books to choose from.
I mean, I don't know how... I went with Renee Bell. She's at BioBell Rocks because I don't necessarily have three favorite books, although I will say I like series. Aaron just went and grabbed one. But I like series of books, and I don't even know that I could tell you my three favorite series of books. But Renee Bell, who is at BioBell Rock, she said, I don't want to tell. I like the weird and out of this world. Pick something magical or paranormal, and I probably like it. But one of my favorites is The Stand. And when she said The Stand, I was like, you know what, Renee? You and I probably read similar stuff.
I do happen to read a lot of nonfiction educational stuff, like sitting on my desk, besides the book I just picked up. Was What Great Principals Do Differently by Todd Whitaker. For white folks who teach in the hood and the rest of y'all too. So those are educational ones. But for fun, and I know this is dorky, I'm reading Tragedy and Hope, The History of the World in Our Time. And it's by Carol Quigley, who was a top advisor during the Clinton administration, too.
Oh, you liberal.
It's history.
You're going to get a liberal view of history.
I like history.
It's going to say is that America took land away from the native people, and it's going to try and be all sympathetic to those that didn't win. And, you know, that's not what history is. History is written by the winners for the winners.
I know, but that's what this is doing. It's identifying that the people who actually shape the history versus what the history is. It's like, you know it this way, but let me tell you why it happened that way. And here's who is involved and here's why. And these are the people that were behind the scenes pulling the strings.
Don't take my glory away from me.
Anyway, I am really a dork and I know it. And so that's my for fun reading.
Okay. That does actually sound like a pretty good book. I think there's a lot of things that we could we could learn if we sort of try and demystify how we got here historically.
Right.
We can look at if we can get all the different viewpoints and treat them all equally. Yeah. Super important.
Exactly.
Wow. So I want a book report.
Well, it's got so many pages, and with the way life is going right now, let's see, 1,348 pages. I'm on about a 10-page per day reading plan.
So you'll have it finished next week?
2 years. 2 years. I keep with 10 pages a day. I'm hoping, you know, that the winter breaks and stuff like that will allow for more than 10 pages a day. But
I am interested on your thoughts on that book, so.
Thank you. I went with the Todd Gregg tweet on this one. He said, 3 all-time favorite books. This is tough, but Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky. And that one was one of Trav's favorites. So, and he would tell me all about it. So I know it's on my reading list still. The Sun Also Rises by Hemingway. And I know for a fact that Rick Cobb has read that one at least 5 times. The 5 may be not a fact. He's read it multiple times. Let's go there. And To Kill a Mockingbird, which was, just an amazing book to read. And actually, I have it and read it, but then I listened to it for a second time whenever we were about to do a novel study on it. And Sissy Spacek, you know, the actress, read it.
Oh.
Man, she is good. Like, Audible's got, they've got actors reading books in some of these, and she just really pushed it over the edge for me. I love that book.
Well, you know, a little moment of honesty here. I don't think I've ever read To Kill a Mockingbird, but Rowan is reading it this year, so I may borrow
it. Okay, do you have an Audible account?
No.
I can share one book with you if you don't have an Audible account.
You've already shared one. You've shared another one with me. I can't remember. I don't remember.
Okay.
Because I listened to so much stuff in the car, so I can't remember if I clicked and listened to it or not.
Gotcha. Well, Spacek. Anyway. Boom Sauce?
Yeah, let's do it. Who is yours?
Okay. I got one this week. You called me out last week, and so I went and I made sure I read every single tweet so that I could find a good Boom Sauce. But I really liked this one because it's up the new latest alley that I've got and Cass has. Allison Trimble, who is at Miss Trimble Vice, she says, maybe every teacher in our school should sign up for a night to do a Facebook Live bedtime story. And I was like, yes! Yes, because then it's not all on Cass, and it would be super fun to see all of the teachers participate. So I really liked that one.
That was a good one. And I went with Jay Anderson again. He had several good tweets tonight. He said, this is in response to question 5. He said, parents seeing it in the school. Now, let's just go back and have a quick review of question 5.
Yeah.
So when a student or parent comes to your classroom or school, what will they see that promotes reading? So that was the question. And my Boom Sauce was his response to that. And he said, parents seeing it in schools is important, but taking the literacy invitation push home is essential. Partner with Home for Reading Success, which was the tweet you picked.
It was. And so it must have been a really good tweet.
It resonated with both of us. Yes. So there you go. There's reading and literacy.
So next week on the Twitter.
Gee, who's hosting next week? I don't know.
Oh, crap. It's me.
It's Aaron. You're hosting next week. Let me tell you what you've titled your chat. You've titled your chat Moving Towards Innovation.
Yes. And so get out your pencils, friends.
We're moving towards innovation and you said get out your pencils.
Your mechanical pencils?
Doesn't sound very innovative.
Okay. Get out your Apple pencils, folks.
Bam.
Because, just ways that every school is going to be in a different place on this spectrum.
Right.
And I think we could all glean from each other and where we were 5 years ago to where we are today, and where this school can see where we were 5 years ago and not fall into the same traps today. I just think that, continually talking about innovation and how to take it to the next level is super important. So
it is important. And you can still be innovative in how you use paper and pencil too. I'm mostly giving you a hard time here, but
I know you are. Love that. That's your favorite pastime.
Yeah. You're one of my faves, Aaron.
All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Where did I stop?
She has inspired you.
Shit.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
It is. It really is. And I have to be mindful of that. Okay.
This is not happening.
This day.
Let's do this.
I believe you. I heard clicking.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma. Okay.